My name is Alex Donaldson, and I will be conducting this interview on behalf of the One Another Project and the Wellcome Trust. The date is the 16th of July 2009. If you could just state your full name, your age, if that's okay, and where you're from.
Right, I'm Gina Harris, I'm 65, and I'm from Ashbourne in Derbyshire.
And how are you doing today?
I'm very well, thank you. Excellent. Apart from the rain and getting soaked way here.
And how did you initially hear about the project?
Well, I've been trying to remember that. I think it was definitely in the paper. I can't remember exactly. There was an article about it, and it gave the email address to write off to, or to send to, if you wanted to be considered for being a plinther. So I just thought, well, you know, be a laugh and not likely to get a place, but I did.
And how did you feel when you found out that you had a place?
Well, I was quite excited because I thought it would be a very interesting project. And I thought when I looked at the email, first of all, and it said 1 to 2 o'clock, and I thought that would be nice because it will be lunchtime and there'll be people about and, you know, be plenty going on. And then, of course, I thought, 24-hour clock here. So it's 1 to 2 in the morning, and that was a bit of a face run. I thought, oh dear, how this is going to be difficult because, you know, having to travel a long way and then... just generally not quite sure how it could be managed, but we organised it all right, so
great.
I'm here.
And what are you planning on doing today?
Well, I decided that because it's in the middle of the night virtually, there wouldn't be many people around here, actually in the square, to entertain or to listen to. So I thought, well, I'll just devote it to my friends and family. So I emailed them all and asked them to... send me either or let me know their favourite poem or a reading or something they wanted me to say, a message they wanted me to give. And I've just compiled a folder with all these bits and pieces, and I just intend to read through them and, you know, give everybody a bit of a mention.
And are you looking to engage with the people surrounding you, if there are?
I shall wave at my half a dozen friends and family, and I think that's probably the only people that will be here tonight. So, not really. I might wave at the odd person, but I don't think, because the weather's so bad and it's so late, that there are going to be many people about anyway. So.
And what's your relationship with London like?
Well, I don't come down very often because it's, you know, it is a journey, and... But I do like coming to London. I have to have a little fix of London every so often, you know, once every couple of months or so. I sort of find something that I've got to come to London for, and then I try and make it at least two things so that I don't feel I'm wasting a train journey on just one thing. So I usually try and go to a gallery if I'm doing something else. But I am a member of the Society of Authors, and they have events, and the next time I'll be down will be one of those in September.
Are you quite involved in the art world?
Not really. I mean, apart from the writing side of things, I just go to galleries when I can. I'm not far from Buxton, so go to Buxton Opera House to see things occasionally. That's really the extent. Derbyshire is, I wouldn't say it was an arts desert, but, you know, there's not so much going on. And even going to Derby, you know, it's, you've got to get in the car and travel and so on. So it's not like living in London and just being able to pop and do things and see things more easily.
And you mentioned the fact that you were interested in literature.
Yes.
Can you just elaborate on that?
Well, I've written, I've co-authored one book and written another book about life coaching because I'm a trained life coach. I've been a life coach now for about 6 or 7 years. And that was in connection with an article that The Observer did, I think, about life coaching. And then I was approached by a publisher who said, have you thought about writing a book? And actually at that stage, life coaching was quite new and people really didn't know what it was.
Can
so
you explain, sorry, a little bit about
life coaching? Well, it's, you know, if you want to get fit physically, you can employ a personal trainer to help you and to keep you motivated. And that's what a life coach does for sort of the rest of your life, apart from the physical. I mean, sometimes physical as well, but mainly it's, you know, if people want to change their jobs, or they get bogged down and they want to make changes generally to make their life more how they want it, it's like having a partner helping you to do that.
And what initially encourage you to kind of move into this area?
Well, I for quite a few years I was a trainer or facilitator for a program called Springboard, a women's personal development program, and that was all about getting women in organizations to look at what they were doing with their lives and really to encourage them to go for promotion, to be more confident, to put themselves across positively. So it was a kind of coaching type thing. I didn't know that coaching existed then, but then I discovered about coaching and thought, oh yes, this is what I want to do, what I, you know, move on from, as it were, coaching large groups of people to coaching individuals.
And do you coach in particular women?
No, not specifically. In fact, I have found that most of the clients I've had have been women, but I'm not a sort of women-only coach. It's just that I think possibly women are more open to this kind of thing. They tend to be much more ready to look for help or somebody to... it's not help so much, it's more having a partner, somebody to, as I say, keep you motivated, ask the awkward questions, that kind of thing. And I just find that maybe women are a bit more ready to do that. But most of my coaching I do over the telephone, so most of my clients I never actually meet.
And do you mind me asking what you did before this?
Well, a long time ago, originally I was a teacher, English teacher. I did my teaching training in Uganda and taught for a year in Kenya, and then that's where I met my husband. But I wasn't really that, well, wasn't that I wasn't keen on teaching. I think the way things were in schools when we came back here to this country, teaching was quite a different kettle of fish and not really what I wanted to do. So I moved then into working for a building society and became a trainer and then moved on to the Springboard thing. So that's my sort of career. I was a stay-at-home mum for quite a few years with the three children. But, yeah, that's been my sort of career progress, if you can call it that.
And sorry, can you just tell me where you're from? How long you've been there for?
Well, we live now near Ashbourne, a little village called Fenny Bentley, near Ashbourne, and we've been there for nearly 13 years. I was brought up in Devon, so I've sort of moved north because I married somebody from Staffordshire, a man from Staffordshire, and then we lived in Staffordshire for quite a while, and then we moved to Ashbourne when he retired.
And just going back to the project, I mean, are you quite familiar with Gourmi's work?
I haven't seen The Angel of the North, although, you know, it looks very impressive from the pictures. I have been to see, the first one I saw, which I thought was absolutely fantastic. I think it was called Field, the one with all the little terracotta people, which I thought was absolutely wonderful because you sort of sat there or stood there looking and there were all these eyes looking at you and you think this must be like to be God, you know, everybody looking at you thinking, oh come on, what are you going to do, are you going to help us or what? So I thought that was brilliant. And then just recently went to see another place the statues in the sea on the shore up in Lancashire. So I think he's an amazing fellow and has brilliant ideas. I don't know how often he's here. Would like to meet him, but I don't suppose he'd be here at this time.
And have you been following the project quite closely so far?
I have, yes. I've kept an eye on things. I've sort of publicised it at home and I've had an article in the Derby Telegraph and the local Ashbourne paper, and I've been interviewed on Radio Derby, and I asked, you know, to if anybody else in the Derby area wanted to get in touch so we could have possibly a plinthers party or something like that. One or two people have replied, but and then of course I've dipped in and out on the website to see what's going on. It's quite addictive really, that's the trouble. You sort of think, oh, I'll just go and have a look, see who's on and what they're doing at the moment.
Absolutely. And how would you describe yourself?
What, in the three words?
No, you can use as many words as you want.
Oh dear, how would I describe myself? Well, I suppose I'm a very independent person. I'm quite adventurous. I like to do different things. I'm not particularly self-conscious. I'm friendly. I'm cheerful. I sort of like to try new things. I'm a bit of a pioneer, I suppose, in a way.
And what kind of effect do you think this experience will have on you as an individual?
Ah, well, that's an interesting question. I'm interested to find out, because I think it will be quite, not life-changing exactly, but I think being stuck up there for an hour and having all that time to sort of look round and think, and it's not often you get that sort of isolation, is it? So I don't know. I'm interested to find out.
And do you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, I'm just apologise to my poor friends and family that they're getting absolutely soaked in torrential rain.
Great, well, thank you very much.